Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this universe and the systems within the universe in such a way that everything has a special quality, a special purpose, special characteristics, and we accept all of this. We believe all of this. We have fire, and the fire, the quality of fire is that it burns. Yeah, the characteristics of fire is that it burns, and we believe this. We accept this, and that's why we will never put our hand into the fire, because we know the fire will burn. Yes, and just like fire is hot, Allah Ta'ala has made snow or ice which is cold. If you put the hand on the ice, it will cool the hand severely. So it's dhahir, it's apparent, it's clear. Yeah? And let's take another example of poison. You won't drink poison because you know that the quality or the characteristic of poison is that it will kill a person. So it's surprising to see, and we upon us, it's quite surprising, you can say, that we believe all of these things and we practice on these things physically, or we steer away from the danger. So if Allah says in the Quran, when Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that the sins or the bad actions, they will definitely lead to a punishment. Allah Ta'ala said this, isn't it? That whoever does something wrong, then he or she will get the punishment for that wrong. Allah Ta'ala said, for every action that is wrong, there will be a consequence. So why do we do bad actions? Why do we commit sins? Why do we disobey Allah? Yeah, if we've got yaqeen that fire burns, or ice will cool down whatever touches it, or poison if it's consumed will kill. So why don't we have yaqeen that sins lead to destruction? Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great statement that definitely the punishment will come for sinning. There's no chance that a person can be saved or that it will be ignored. So here this is a clear point that Allah Ta'ala has told us. Clear, very clear cut Allah Ta'ala has told us. If we look in our life, we have mountains of sins. Yes, not in a house, rather in every room in the house you will see sins, Allah's disobedience, haram, mounted upon haram. Look at the face, appearance, libas, ourselves, our children, the way of life, standing, walking, meeting, eating, meeting, going out, coming back. Allahu Akbar. Here, Allah Ta'ala says, for one sin, one wrong action, one misdeed, every misdeed will get a consequence and a punishment. And here I speak about one family home. I'm not talking about society at the moment or our towns and cities. I'm talking about one home. And what do we see? Sin upon sin. Wrong action upon wrong action. So how will we solve our issues? How? That every sin invites punishment. Every sin results in punishment. And every sin results in Allah's ghadab, displeasure and lanat. So if we've got mountains of sins upon in our lives and our children and our homes and families, then what mercy of Allah are we waiting for you? What fadl of Allah are we waiting for? It's not going to come like that, is it? It's not going to be there. It's not that this is all made up. You can say, for example, if you put a fake flower or plant in a room, then it won't give off any fragrance. You'll just see that it is not genuine, it's fake. Yes, so what we see that in our life, the life that we are living, it's fake, it's not genuine, it's not real, there's no fragrance in our lives. We have issues of problems and bad actions and discontent. And the reason for this, Allah Ta'ala has told us that every insan, every human being, I will give him the punishment for his sins, for each and every one of the sin that is committed. So I remember this verse that somebody recited. It was like a poem, a verse, very important lines, that we need to see the result of the actions that we do. Yes? That we think that there's reward, obviously, for good deeds, and we put this in our mind. Oh, and the bad deeds that we do, the sins, oh, it's okay, we'll see in the hereafter what happens. And we're not going to get punished here, we're going to get the punishment in the hereafter, and I'll take that. So is this justice for what Allah Ta'ala has given to us? That this is not the case that we will go to the day of Hashr and we'll get the punishment. Allah says, insaf, justice, doesn't wait until the day of judgment necessarily, that your life itself will give you the punishment for your misdeeds. Your life itself will give you the punishment for the sins committed in the world. So the life of a person, the darkness, and when a person's lost, etc. Is this how we want to live our life? That we are lost in this world and in the hereafter we are lost as well? A mu'min, a believer, can he imagine that he's got sins in front of him, he's seeing the sins or there's something wrong in his home, and then he thinks that, oh, Allah Ta'ala's wrath or ghadab is not going to come on him? It's impossible. Just like you put your hand in the fire, and then the quality of the fire, Allah Ta'ala says that the fire will burn. So how can it be that we are committing a sin? We're doing bad actions, immoral actions, and we won't get the punishment in this world? Allah says the question doesn't arise. It will definitely come. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam went past a village or a town, and he was quite surprised when he saw that village. He was the prophet of his time. He said, oh, this looks like paradise. Look, there's rivers and water, and there's plants and fruits and trees and greenery and vegetation and happiness, and Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is descending on this town. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said, Allah, is this your creation? What a beautiful town. Every man's happy, and they've got everything in numerous quantities, and there's no poverty, and rivers flowing, and water, fresh water, and fragrance and winds, and people enjoying and eating and drinking, happiness, totally content. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam kept on seeing this, and he said, Subhanallah, that what a ajeeb town, unique. And he went on his journey, and then after some time, after quite some days, he came back past that village. He said, huh? Is this the same village? I went past here before. And then he sees sort of like wilderness and graveyards and dogs and cats and animals and nothing else. The trees are barren and dry and rotting. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was shocked. And he was sad at that time. And he said, Allah, what's happened here? This is that same town I went past on my way. I went some years back to this town. I went past this town and there was a lot of noor and light. And now it's wild and barren. Nobody says, deserted. And Allah said, my beloved Nabi, that as long as these people obeyed me and followed my orders, on every second I allowed them to benefit from my rahmah, from my mercy, I allowed to descend upon them my fadl, my mercy, in such ni'mah, such rewards, that the earth could not dare, that it wouldn't in one year give three harvests, it would give three harvests, and one tree would give off different fruits. For example, we see that, for example, you have a mango tree and it gives you three times a year the harvest, and the goats and the cows, they used to give milk every day, and there was fresh, clean, sweet water in their rivers, and rain whenever they needed it, it came for them. Why? Because they were obedient. But when shaitan started to advise them and they started to disobey me, Allah says, then I gave them a response slowly, slowly. Allah said, I reduced my ni'mas, my rewards. Not suddenly, but slowly, slowly, my ni'mas were reduced. And as I reduced my ni'mas, then this is the hisab that occurred, that you can see. That qawm, it disappears from the earth. Their status is removed, their glory is removed. That, do you know, Allah Ta'ala said that the izzah, the respect that these people had, and how Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran with regards to a Muslim. Now we go back to the example of a Muslim, a believer, how much Allah Ta'ala has praised a Muslim in the Quran, the respect in the world for a believer, and how Allah Ta'ala has given maqam, status. And today, we're sometimes scared to explain and talk about our condition. Take any country, any nation, any society. When a person or people forget Allah, we don't consider bad actions as bad today. We don't consider sins as sins. In our mind, oh, what difference does it make? It's okay, everyone else is doing it. Okay, fine, enjoy yourself then. Enjoy yourself and waste the time. So this is the point we need to understand. That sometimes we have to sit down and analyze that why are there problems in our life? Because we don't do the right thing. But yes, we should have courage, determination, pull ourselves together and say, after today, we will not disobey Allah in our home, in my family. There's no law of Allah that we will break. We will not break and go against Sharia. No ghair mahram will come and sit in front of the women in my home, whether he's the son of my uncle or the son of this person, or if it's the brother of the wife, he's not going to come sit in front of my wife. Just by doing prostration meditation and salah, and then we break Allah Ta'ala's laws. If a person breaks one law, oh no, he's my brother's son and there's no parda here, and she is the wife of my son and she can sit with this person, etc. Ghair mahram is a ghair mahram. Illegitimate relationship, not allowed. How can a person dare to say, oh no, it's all okay, Allah. No, Allah Ta'ala's law, we break it in our homes, and then we consider that in our homes, why is there no barakah? Tawbah, may Allah forgive us. Yes, so ghair mahram, the male or the female who's not allowed for the other male or female, they should not come in front of each other. They should be the barrier. So Allah Ta'ala says, when there are sins, then that home, that society, that town, that village, it is given the adab. So if the person doesn't have this understanding, then he needs to remember this. So let's revise this lesson that we have forgotten, that the question doesn't arise that as long as we keep on disobeying Allah, we commit sins in our lives, physically, spiritually, in our home, in our household, in our town, in our countries, in our cities, Allah's rahmah will not come. Then we will have to wait for the punishment for our sins, and it will definitely come. There was a pious elder, and he was a friend of Allah, like a normal human being. Normal human being. And he committed a sin. The nafs sort of influenced him, like today. People very quickly, for example, you take something out of your pocket. Oh, I shouldn't have watched this. Oh, astaghfirullah. So he, one day, he committed a sin, made a mistake. And when a person commits a sin first time, he sweats a bit, he shakes a little bit. Then after that, when he commits the sin again, then he thinks, oh, what did I do? Then third time, he gets used to it. So he kept on doing a sin repeatedly. And then he thought suddenly that I am a friend of Allah, I am a wali of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has given me a maqam, status, and I am doing this sin repeatedly. And Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran that every sin will have its consequence. There will be a punishment, definitely. So with me, this is going to occur. This is going to occur. So from Allah Ta'ala, ilham came, inspiration came. Allah said, is this? So you think you're fine? So he said that, look, Allah Ta'ala says that every sin has a consequence, punishment, but I'm sinning and here, I'm not getting a punishment. Allah Ta'ala said, look at my sunnah, sunnah ilahi, that every sin I remove the ni'mas. Allah Ta'ala says, see what you have wasted. Oh my friend, you have wasted the opportunity. That you get up for tahajjud? He said, yes, I get up for tahajjud. That he's still regular in tahajjud. That you just wake up, isn't it? But the maqam that I gave to you, tahajjud, do you see that still that same light and strong feeling? Now tell me, where's the crying gone in your tahajjud? Your sobbing and your emotions and your lengthy recitation of the verses of the Quran. Now you get up for tahajjud and none of this is present in your worship. Allah says, I've taken this away back. Now all you do is get up for tahajjud. That's all you do. Slowly, Allah Ta'ala said, I eliminated the nur and the light. Turn back and see what everything is gone from within you. And this is the reaction that occurs. And then you will continue to lose out until you become a hollow box from inside. Then you'll be like a wild animal. Allah Ta'ala says, then I eradicate that person from the deen. So Allah Ta'ala says, straight away, a person is not given punishment. Just like buildings, when they demolish slowly, they drop. Allah says, my rahmah is waiting for you. But if you continue to sin, then the punishments come slowly. So we see the same. We sometimes don't feel like doing dhikr or coming to the majlis or waking up in the morning at fajr time. We're lazy. Sometimes we can't get up for fajr, or we can't get up for tahajjud, or we don't feel enjoyment for doing dhikr. Sometimes we say, oh, what's the point of doing this? What's the point of going here? Ups and downs occur in life, don't they? So what is this? What is this? Allah Ta'ala's adab, Allah Ta'ala's punishment. Is there any bigger adab than this? Tell me, is there any bigger adab than this? A warning. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm displeased with you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. If Allah Ta'ala is displeased, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala doesn't say that I take your wealth away from you, or close down your bank balances or bank accounts or deposits. People who don't believe, for example, Allah Ta'ala gives to them as well. If Allah Ta'ala is displeased with someone, Allah Ta'ala takes that person far from his love. What a big adab. That person, Allah Ta'ala has given him tawfiq to do dhikr, and then afterwards he leaves dhikr. Allahu Akbar. It's like the person isn't living anymore. When this condition comes in a person's life, oh, it's okay, I'll do dhikr at home, I don't need to go to majlis. So that status Allah gave him, because for example, as I said, he's waking up for tahajjud, but where's the recitation of Quran in the morning? Where's the enjoyment of tahajjud? Allah said that when you used to raise your hands at tahajjud, you used to cry. Where are your tears gone? Where's your presence in front of your Lord? Where's that all gone? So when a person feels that, oh, there's restrictions or barriers, and my ibadat or my closeness to Allah is now being lost, that I had before, the signs of love I had for Allah, the signs that I have, that I was close and connected with Allah. Allah Ta'ala, the signs of Allah Ta'ala's love is what? The dhikr of Allah. Allah's remembrance, this is a big sign. And Allah doesn't give everybody the tawfiq. Not everybody does this. They say, oh, it's not fard, it's not compulsory. I say, it's not wajib, it's not fard, I have to sit down and do dhikr of Allah. Why is it? I'll pray till the end of story. That's it. Allah says, okay, fine. So now you leave the gathering, and the person who I love, I will allow him to come repeatedly to do my dhikr. Yes? So when that, those signs, those actions that give the nearness to Allah, the qurb of Allah, then we have to realize definitely I have committed a sin due to which Allah Ta'ala is taking me far away from His closeness. So if this is happening and I've got awareness and consciousness that bad, that sins is something wrong, then that person will feel bad, very bad indeed. There was a man from Bani Israel, he was pious and abid, and a woman, for example, he put his hand on the thigh of the woman. She was a woman at that time, and in their Sharia at that time there was a different, for example, ruling for Parda, and he put his hand on a part of her body, and obviously then there's a reaction. For example, doesn't matter how close a person is, and for example he might say, oh, how are you, you're my, like my daughter, how is everything, but obviously he knows, he had the awareness that why is he putting his hand on her thigh, on her leg, and then suddenly within him maybe the thoughts, the whispers of shaitan, doesn't matter if he says, you're my sister, like my daughter, oh, you're like my sister, you're like my auntie, this is all nonsense, this is all from shaitan, shaitan influence. For a man to go to a ghair mahram strange woman, or for a woman to go to a ghair mahram strange man, where men and women mix together, doesn't matter what relationship they have, but if they are ghair mahram, strangers under Sharia law, then this is haram for those opposite sexes, those individuals to be in the company of each other. There's total parda. Parda means barrier. There has to be the barrier. Otherwise then immodesty will brew and spread. Then Allah says, I will bring you closer together. Oh, you're my brother, you're my sister. They keep saying brother and sister. Oh no, she's the wife of my brother. Oh no, she's the sister of my husband, etc. And then after a while, he says, oh, in-laws become the relations. They become the relatives because the person broke the rules that Allah Ta'ala sent. So this is what Islam, that Islam teaches us that there has to be a barrier. We have to save ourselves from our nafs. So he put his hand on her thigh, on the leg, and then the feelings, the emotions changed, became different after the hand was put on the body. Then he said, oh, I cannot keep this hand attached to my body anymore. I've committed this sin with this hand, and it's ended all of my spirituality. Allah Ta'ala said that after every sin, the punishment definitely comes. Now I've passed away, I don't know what punishment I'm going to get. The all of my spirituality, my iman will go. So he then put his hand into the fire and allowed his hand to burn. And he said, now I don't need this hand anymore because it sinned. It touched that woman who was strange for me. She wasn't allowed for me, lawful for me. So this is the relationship, my friends, an example of the relationship between a man and his Lord. That we do dhikr of Allah for this reason, so we can avoid the sin, so we can make a strong connection with Allah. This is the reason that our link with Allah is so far away now, that so much he felt remorse for his sin that he burnt his hand. And this was a man from Bani Israel. This was according to his rules and laws. Now let's see the sadqa of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Allah has removed this strictness. Allah says, don't worry, you don't have to do that. You don't need to burn your hand. If you make a mistake, just do one action. Lower yourself, humble yourself, rub your forehead on the ground, prostrate, and say, Allah, I promise from today I will not commit this sin. Allah says, I will forgive the sin that you did that day and all the previous sins. And we are so miserly, we are so stingy that we can't even do this. We can't even do this, that after sinning in our life, the sins that we commit in our lives, that we accept that, oh, we say, this is not a sin. This is not a problem. We don't do this. Oh, my daughter doesn't do this. My sister doesn't do this. My mother doesn't do this. This person or this. Oh, I'm forced to do this. I'm living in the world. It's hard to live. It's shocking and surprising. Allah Ta'ala has given us total framework, A to Z, due to the sadqa, via the example of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We live like donkeys in our lives that we have accepted Jahannam. Our women folk, our men folk, our whole qawm, nation of Muslims, the whole ummah has accepted that no, we can't follow Allah Ta'ala's orders. Allah sent us into hellfire. You've given us concession, Allah, that we should make a promise, no sign, no agreement, no contract, no pact, no witness, no place, no reason. Wherever you stand, Allah Ta'ala says, and the insan says that, Allah, forgive me. And he feels just like that man. He had the witness. He went and burnt his hand. Even then, we don't know if his tawbah is accepted. But Allah Ta'ala says, you, O Muslim, follower of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no one's around and you sit in isolation and you accept that, Allah, I've committed a sin. My eyes, they strayed or I did wrong. Allah, you're going to punish me, but you've promised that I promise that after today, Allah, I will not commit this sin again. End of story. All his previous sins removed. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. This is our qawm. This is our status. This is the ummah of the Muslims. And we are foolish people. We're not decent human beings. Our tongue will not even come round to saying, Allah, we've sinned. We pray salah, then sin. We do hajj, then we sin. We go on umrah, then sin. Everything. After every worship action, sin. Those same sins, those same conditions at home, problems at home, distresses at home. We'll open the Quran, start reciting, oh, khatam, we need to do khatam Quran, and someone has to do dua for us. Ramadan comes, Shaban comes, it's 15th of Shaban's coming. Is there any greater blessing than this on the ummah of the Muslims? The days and the nights to come, the great month to come, is there any bigger blessing than this? Allah's karam, Allah's mercy, that we are like animals and donkeys. We cannot even think that what is our situation. So the month, the 15th of Shaban, the blessing that Allah Ta'ala has given, 15th of Shaban, that we will waste time and do cultural and innovation actions. There will be fireworks, and lots of Muslims will do fireworks or play games or eat sweet meal or light candles, etc. How shaitan has diverted us and deviated us. Allah Ta'ala, through the sadqa of His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has given us what? That the night on the 15th of Shaban, great blessing month, but we come together and we waste that time. Those 4 or 5 hours of the night, they are so blessed, full of weight and fuyuz and blessings and barakat. We waste those hours. We waste them. That, for example, we have no place to go to do dhikr. People say in the masjid, no, there's a program that night, there's a speech, this masjid, we don't know if they'll give us permission or not. Dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah is the ruh, the soul. Oh, you won't get a place. Show me a place where they'll give you permission to do dhikr of Allah. No, no, go to your khan and do dhikr. Dhikr is not necessarily, especially on this 15th of Shaban. Oh, okay, what you can do, go in the cellar, in the basement, because upstairs there are programs. Subhanallah, I'm telling you practically what occurs. Subhanallah, Allah, your qawm, the sadqa of your qawm, the Muslims who today have rejected your dhikr, your remembrance. We haven't fulfilled the haq, the right of dhikr. How will this qawm, the Muslims, be forgiven? Tell me. How will we be forgiven? All of us. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. Am I saying wrong? Tell me. If I'm right, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Say it. Then show me a place, a masjid, who says, yes, we give you permission. This is the 15th night of Shaban. Dhikr is so virtuous on this night. Can you please host the dhikr here in this night? But they say, no, get back. Get back. Mulana Sahib is going to come. He's going to give speeches. No, can we do majlis of dhikr? No. Step back, please. No, it's not necessary that day. Show me a place they give permission. If when I speak like this, they're all unhappy with me. Oh, he's a bidati, innovation. He's an innovator and he's jahil. He says this and that. They get angry. No, but we have to accept the truth. So brothers, such karam of Allah, such mercy of Allah, that the 15th night of Shaban, every child, woman, man, subhanAllah, we should be prepared for what? What does the 15th night invite us to do? Same point, that we are sinning, we are in such a bad state, physically and spiritually, as an ummah, as individuals, and such a great month is to come, Ramadan, the blessed and holy month of Ramadan, such a massive and great month Allah Ta'ala is giving, that I cannot even use words to express the greatness of the month of Ramadan, brothers. Words cannot express. So for this, Allah Ta'ala said that these people are living lives like animals. Let me give them a chance that they don't waste that month. So 2 weeks before Ramadan starts, I remember a hadith, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu. What a great hadith I've just remembered. Subhanallah. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu said, and you've probably heard this, you alim, mashallah. So if you haven't listened to this hadith, as Abdullah bin Umar said, radhiyallahu anhu, if an individual 1 month before does tawbah, then his tawbah is accepted. Subhanallah. Sorry, I will repeat this. If an individual one month prior to death, if he does tawbah, then until his death, the tawbah is accepted. Yes, we've heard this, isn't it? That until a person dies, if a person dies before death, if he does tawbah, he's forgiven. So what we hear from this hadith, what we learn, is that 15 days before Ramadan, prior to Ramadan, Allah says, sit down in this night and do what? One action. Just sit in any corner in your home, in the masjid, ask Allah for forgiveness, so your connection with Allah is made, and the friendship's made, so the month to come is not wasted by us. That's it. And this game, now we've made the drama on this day. Why, Mulana? Am I wrong? What I'm saying, Mulana Sahib? The games we play, the traditions, the innovations, don't ask. Let's not go into that. It will take too long to discuss it. Today, we need to realize that on the night of the 15th of Shaban, we should be sitting at home in the masjid crying. We should change our homes, our libas, our appearance, our faces, all of the haram and awful actions that are in our homes. We should purify our homes. Why? Because Ramadan is coming. But on this night, 15 days before Ramadan, we say, oh, no, though, it's not important. I don't need to do tawbah, repent. Let the month come. Let's set off the fireworks, eat halwa puri, and give speeches, etc. And then in the morning, we are like dead wood. that, oh, we say, oh, we fasted on this day, the 15th of Shaban. Now we've achieved, no, but there's no importance that much of the fast. Mulana sahab are sitting here, ask them. There's no, it's not necessary to keep the fast. There's no hadith. Yes, there's one daif hadith, one weak hadith with regards to fasting on the 15th of Shaban. Fine, you should keep the fast. I'm not saying don't keep it. But we emphasize so much, but the asal, genuine reason for this night, which I'm saying, I'm comparing. Okay, what will the fast give us if we don't do tawbah? If we've not fulfilled the purpose of the 15th night of Shaban, then what benefit will the fast give to us if we've not fulfilled the purpose of tawbah? So this is the point. Allah Ta'ala says that sins, bad actions, if sins are in your life, and Allah says, then the punishment will come. There's a sahabi. So I'm talking to you about a companion now, radiyallahu anhu. He said, when I would commit a mistake, because the sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, they had light in their hearts, in their minds. Even if I become 70,000 times over, wali wala, I cannot reach to the level of the dust on the foot of a sahaba. Of a sahabi. So when a wali of Allah, he has mushahida, inspiration, his heart is open. And the wali of Allah, if this is his hal, then imagine the status and the iman of a sahabi, of the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the sahabi, for him to say these words is not a minor thing. And he said an ajeeb, beautiful point. And every sahabi, not that any sahabi was less than someone else, or he studied here, or he did another course, no. Nothing. No standard did he have. There no ta'aleem, education, sitting down, reading, nothing, money, hoarding mass, wealth or family, etc. He was like a nomad, a villager. He came, he saw the face, the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he became a Muslim. And he was better than thousands and millions of alims from the world full of Sufis and walis of Allah. Even his slippers, the dust on his slippers, we cannot reach to that level. Why? Why? Because this has continued even till today. Why were the Sahaba on that status, high level? Why did they have strong iman? Because when that man would go, who were they going to see? Subhanallah, so much was the effect of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that just by looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, the jalak, the effect, that light, the nur of Islam would come into the life of the Sahabi. Suddenly, just by seeing the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, suddenly the tazkiyah occurred, the purification and cleaning of the nafs and the heart occurred, and then they went into the group of the Arifin. Until today, that sunnah continues, that even if today we sit in the company of the wali of Allah, our heart can open also. That's what we want it to occur, don't we? We want this to occur. And this is the point we need to understand. The same silsila, the sahaba ikram, they saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they became sahaba. The same way, the effect of the wali of Allah, his eyesight has the effect, his company has an effect. And if we seek a true wali of Allah today, sit in his company, then we will get the strength of iman. Go find the company of a wali of Allah and sit and see him, look at him, listen to him. Is better than hundreds of thousands of hajj. When I would see the face, the blessed face of my shaykh, I would benefit more than 100,000 hajj. Because the person becomes like an arif. He's aware, his heart opens. We need passion, desire. Desire. So what is this sahabi saying? He said that when I would commit a mistake, then he would explain his feeling, his emotion. Look how close he was swallowed. He said, when I committed a mistake, then I would feel that I've done wrong. Subhanallah. How? He said that the effects of the sin I would see in my wife, in my children, in my home, in my servants, and to the extent my animals even, I would see the effect of my disobedience or the sins I've committed. And I understood straight away that I've committed a mistake, and Allah Ta'ala is making everyone around me disobedient. So my friends, this is a big point we need to understand. We need to understand this point. If we have courage, determination, if we want to live our lives properly, then live our lives. We should live our lives properly. That when something that Allah Ta'ala dislikes from morning to night, it should not be in our life. That if Allah Ta'ala dislikes something, it should not be in our life. Allah Ta'ala has given us dhikr. Is remembrance. There are two specialities, two effects of dhikr. As I said, everything has an effect or qualities. Allah has put two qualities into dhikr. The dhikr of Allah removes the sins and doesn't allow a person to commit the sins again in the first place. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has put special qualities in dhikr, that the dhakir, for example, he attains two things when he does dhikr of Allah. Number one, the dhikr of Allah removes the previous sins that are already in our record books. It cleans them, washes them away. And secondly, it creates such strength in the heart of the Muslim that he doesn't go close to the sins. He's saving himself from the sins. We should do this, at least this action of dhikr of Allah, do with desire and passion, and see how much difference coming in my life. How far am I going from the sins, and how much do I dislike the sins, the things that I used to like to do? Now I'm disliking them, I hate them. And this is dhikr of Allah, that this is what dhikr creates in the heart, the effect that it creates in us. So let's do dua to Allah that the night of 15th of Shaban, we should be careful with regards to this. What should we do in this night? Say it loudly. Loudly. Tawbah, that's it. Don't fall into any other trap. This many rakats are prayed, and this many rakats of the chapters of the Quran are recited. The pious elder said, you don't need to work that hard. Sit in the corner and pray two nafal salah, and then after do your routine of dhikr, and then do tawbah and repent, and then go to sleep, and then get up the hajjud time and read the hajjud, and that's the end of the story. That's what this night's for. We don't need to act out a drama and play games. Just one thing we need to do: make the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night, and then stick to that. And the person who's done this, we should consider that insan who has reached to Ramadan with safety. And the person who's still scared, who doesn't want to do tawbah, oh no, it's too hard, I can't do this, how can I do this? I'll have to carry on sinning, and then when that time comes, I'll carry on practicing and try my best. Then this is not giving us any benefit at all. Let's do dua to Allah, that Allah gives us courage, determination. Why, brothers? Because this generation we're living in is very severe. There's a lot of effort we have to make, and we need to make dua to Allah that Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for us. That we need to try that in this day and age, the situation around us, that this generation we're stuck in, we're very close to Hazrat Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. That I will, inshallah, in the time to come, I will discuss this point about Hazrat Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. I will speak about Hazrat Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, what will happen when he comes, what he will do, and what will be his hisab kitab, and how the sequence of events will take place. Allahu Akbar, until Hazrat Isa alayhi salam comes back to earth. So this time is very close. It is difficult, but it's not difficult if we have conviction. If Allah Ta'ala's fadl comes, it's not difficult. We should pull ourselves together and do what we can. Don't keep bad actions or sins in our lives. Purify yourselves, purify your families, your wife. She should wear the burqa, the hijab, and be in parda from ghair mahram women. And we shouldn't break the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't have impure things in our house. We should purify our house, have a life of peace and aman and shanti and contentment, and live a first class life. Don't be enemy with anybody, and don't let anybody be enemy with you. Khair upon goodness. We should live our lives in this way, inshallah. Morning and evening, whatever we have received from Allah, we should be content, happy, and eat it with ease, and don't complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't complain. And no salah should be rejected due to the dirty money rizq. No salah. The congregation, the masjid, we should go to the masjid and pray in congregation, and everyone should go and pray in masjid and do sajda. These things are only, why do we leave salah? Oh, I'm going to make £5 more, £100 more, £10. We should say lana, curse upon those actions, because we should accept what is the greatest result for the akhirah through salah and jama'ah. And to make our deen strong, we should do dhikr of Allah kathira and kathira, with kasrat, with abundance, and nothing will leave and go with us. That we leave salah for a pound, we leave congregation for a pound, that pound will not come into our grave. Rather, that pound, what will it do after we depart? It will say to the people in the house, the people, the family members say, oh, this is mine, this is mine. And nobody will come to your grave to do dua. When you pass away, when I pass away, they will fight over my properties. This watch, my father gave me this money, he gave me this in the will, his bank account, no, he liked me better. And the father is being given punishment in the grave at that time. He's getting the punishment. And his sons and daughters and his family are fighting. We left salah due to the children, adhan and Quran and Allah's masjid. For what? For £10, £20, so that we could feed the children. And now they are playing games after we've died. No child, even a child, will not even come to the qabr to do dua to the father. He won't even know where the grave is, my father's grave. Oh, is it strong? There are mice and rats walking over the grave. And we're saying today that we are working and working hard to make money for our children. Yes, we should work hard for the children and the wife. But there's a boundary, a sharia boundary. Don't totally give up your deen and your religion just for the sake of earning money. No, we shouldn't do this. This is very bad. We should have a balance of life. We should understand what life is. There should be a balance of life in the person. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.